everybody to Health, Wealth, and Divine. My name is Jawanza. Show is also known as Jawanza for Life. It's great to be alive. It's great to be able to have another opportunity to come before you and bring powerful, positive, life-changing, life-saving information. If you've been following us, as I always say, you know who our regulars are. And if you're just tuning in for the very first time, oh, I got somebody I really want to introduce you to that's really, really going to be an addition. He's going to bring some information that's really going to just bring some clarity to some issues. It's going to be a very welcome addition to your experience, and I invite you to call back and check back in once a month. Dr. Watkins is my special guest today. He's a regular on Health, Wealth, and Divine. Comes on one Saturday out of the month. We bring him on, and he's got some powerful information that he's going to share with us today. In case you've never heard of Dr. Watkins, he's a graduate of the Howard University School of Medicine back in 1977. That's right, he's been on this path for decades, longer than some of you listeners might even have been on the planet. He's been doing this work. Started off as a surgeon. He was actually cutting the body open. So you know, when you're getting into surgery, he knows the body inside and out. And so we've got somebody, an expert, who is going to, again, share information with us. Today we're going to be talking about thankfulness and health. Thankfulness and health. We just experienced one of the major holidays of the year, Thanksgiving. And I want to bring my guest on, Dr. Watkins. How was your Thanksgiving, sir? Welcome back to Health, Wealth, and Divine.
Well, thank you very much. I'm glad to be back. And yes, I had a really exciting Thanksgiving. You know, all of my children, we were all together at my eldest daughter's house, and you know, my in-laws and friends and my grandkids. So it was exciting time, and really enjoyed myself.
You know, this is a day of the year where a lot of people get together to give thanks. Traditionally, people come around the table to, you know, family and friends and loved ones to express thankfulness to the Creator, God, for allowing us to see another year, to thank God for our health, you know, for the many blessings that God has bestowed upon us. And again, today's show is aptly titled Thankfulness and Health. And I think that when it seems like, unfortunately, a major contradiction when people get together to give thanks, and, you know, there's a lot to be said for fellowship. You know, people come together sharing with family and friends, love for those, you know, in our circle. But it seems like a large contradiction when you come together under the heading of giving thanks to God for the blessings, for the health, for the strength, but yet we undermine our health and our strength by the very food that we partake of, intake at this Thanksgiving celebration. Could you talk about thankfulness and even the evidence of being thankful? Because if somebody gives you something and you're appreciative of it, and then we're talking about health now, if God has given you health and strength and you're appreciative of it, and you want to say thank you, one of the best ways of saying thankful is to maintain that and act like you are thankful for that which God has given you by taking care of it. Could you talk about that, Doc?
Well, this is a very, very important question, important issue, because I believe that we have gotten to the point now that we don't even consider health when it comes to these days. We consider pleasure. And I want to suggest to you that what we're really doing is setting ourselves up for the opposite of pleasure, for misery.
Wow.
And you know, I believe, and I can talk about spiritual things on this program. Spiritual things are spiritually discerned. The devil comes but to kill, steal, and destroy. And he has taken something that I believe is an outstanding practice. You know, growing up, I've talked about before, growing up in Cleveland, Ohio, moving up to the projects, up with mobility, man, moving up to the projects, being on welfare, not having my dad around, not even really knowing him because he left us when I was very, very young. He did leave me his name, but that's about it.
Mm-hmm.
When we would come together as a family, my father wasn't there, but my uncles would be there. My two uncles on my mother's side, they would be there, and other family members, my grandmother, and friends often. And it was an exciting time. I mean, I look forward to the holidays. I'll be honest. I look forward to the food. You know, I tell people that I had an orgy from Thanksgiving to New Year's. Mm-hmm. I mean, I ate continuously, and it wasn't always good food. I was a sugar junkie, and so I ate continuously. But I think that the most important part of that holiday was the fact that my family was together, and I got an opportunity to appreciate my roots and you know, the laughing and so forth. All that was good. But then we go and we mess it up by the things that we eat. Now we say that, you know, man, this is so good. But I often like to ask, how can something be good that's killing you?
Mm. Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, when you really look at it, if I give you some nice poison in your favorite ice cream,
mm-hmm.
and I kill you, you gonna tell me that that's good? We you know, now. In case you think I'm a party pooper, trying to just mess up your holiday, you know, on my radio show and on several other talks that I do leading up to Thanksgiving, I talked about on every one food, having food that's good for you being good to you.
Mm-hmm.
I know that we can have food that tastes good, and I'm very discriminating. You know, I don't like food that doesn't taste good, you know. We can have food that tastes very good, but that also is good for you, that helps you to get well, you know. And so what we have to do is we have to learn how to use the skills, the talents that God has given us to prepare foods that literally taste good and that also helps. So yes, in answer to your question, it's definitely a contradiction for us to be talking about being thankful for the life, the experiences, the success that God has given us, and at the same time kill ourselves. I mean, it's just, and I hate to be so
direct,
but that's exactly what we're doing. You know, the Bible says that if you eat of this tree, then you will surely die. You know, it wasn't immediate death, but the second that they did, they partook of it, they start dying, ye shall die. And dying, ye shall die. They started immediately the process of dying. And so what we need to do is we need to recognize that God wants us to live, and living... we should live, you know, not in dying we should die. And so I'm excited, and I'm very thankful for what God has and is doing in our lives to take us to the next level where we can really live, and in living, we shall live.
Now, Doc, you have people out there, and I know that you, this next statement that I'm going to make, I know you've heard it. I know I've heard it many times. And this statement comes from people who, for whatever reason, basically, I think the reason is just based upon their own, you know, level of consciousness. You've heard this statement before. Well, you got to die of something. You know, I don't care how much you could be vegetarian, vegan, you could be a fruititarian, a breatharian. You know, you're not going to live forever. And of course, this reasoning is used to justify the eating of whatever it is that, you know, people want to eat, do whatever they want to do. That, you know, even if you're a vegetarian, you're not going to live, or vegan, you're not going to live to 150. You know, so how do you reply to someone whose mindset is such that is their reasoning and their justification for not making better food choices, that you got to die of something?
Well, that's a ridiculous statement, first of all, because we don't have to die of something. If we are children of the book, we know that when Christ comes back, some of us are going to be alive and going to meet him in the air. You know, so from a biblical perspective, we don't know when that's going to be, because nobody knows the day or the hour. But from let's assume that we're not one of the translated. Why would you want to die sooner? I mean, I actually enjoy living. You know, you said that I've been around a while. Yeah, I'm 72 and, you know, years old, almost 72 and a half. You know, but I enjoy living. And I don't want to die one day earlier than I have to.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the things that I see with my patients, they tell me, you know, Dr. Wagner, I don't want to live if living is so miserable. Well, I did a paper one time when I was in residency. I guess the first time I really considered this thing, from a scientific perspective, and I wrote the paper on if I follow all the principles, these helpful principles, how much longer would I live? And what I came up with is that you'll live 12 to 20 years longer. And to be honest, Juwan, I was disappointed. I wanted it 30, 40, 50 years, you know. Just ridiculous, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But what I found was that in addition to the quantity of life, and ain't nobody fussing about 20 years, you know. Give me 20 days. When you face with death, give me 20 more days to say nothing
minutes.
To 20 more years.
20 more
you
minutes.
Understand what I'm talking about? But
mm-hmm.
but what I found was not only are you living quantitatively longer, you're living qualitatively longer. You're not having heart disease or cancer or diabetes or arthritis or any of the other major illnesses that we suffer and die from in this country. And so, you know, when you really understand what you're saying, the statement is utterly ridiculous, because you want to live, but you want to live to the fullest, and you don't want to die, and you certainly don't want to die prematurely.
Mm-hmm.
You want to have a full life. God says that I've come that you might have life, and have it what? More abundantly. So you want that abundant life. You want that healthy life, you know. And and unfortunately, or fortunately, God has provided a method by which we can have that. We can't have it, you know, have our cake and eat it too. You know, we have to decide that we're going to do it His way. Because our way ain't going to work. I was talking to a patient last week. And I was telling him, I said, look, you've tried it your way. your way ain't work. Let's try His way. And let's see if we can make a difference doing it His way.
Well, Doc, let's do this for a moment, just for the sake of this discussion, because there are a lot of people out there. There might be somebody out there that's an atheist, okay? And, you know, I always tell people that regardless of, let's say, for example, let's just, for the sake of discussion, somebody out there listening is an atheist, and you take somebody out there that's, you know, believes in God. Now, the atheist, let's say the atheist is a vegan, okay? The atheist don't eat no dairy, no sugar, no meat, no, none of that stuff, right? And they eat lots of fruits and vegetables. Now, the Christian or the Muslim or whatever the person's religion is, they eating lamb and chicken and chitlins and pork and, you know, everything else. My question is, who do you think is going to live the longer life? Because the fruit, the orange, don't care what you believe, okay?
The one that's going to live the longest is the one who's following God's principles. And clearly what you're saying is that the atheist, ignorant of the principle or the source of the principle, is following the principle. Mm-hmm. And so the atheist is going to live. I used to laugh and say, you know, the hippies, the hippies, long hair and all this crazy stuff. If you look at their skin looks so good. Because they were before everybody else was juicing, the Christians were juicing.
Right.
The hippies was outliving the Christians, you know. And even though they were using drugs, in many
right.
cases, you know,
mm-hmm.
but they were outliving the Christians because they were giving their bodies the other stuff that the bodies needed. And when you give it to the body knows what to do with it. God has designed us to do that. And the scriptures talk about that. It talks about people who ignorantly do what the scriptures tell them to do, that they get the benefit. please.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing that I found is sometimes the atheists don't know that he's a believer. The atheists, let me say that again, for the atheists out there, they don't know that they're believers, but they are, because the atheists believe in something, and the atheists have made observations. The atheist just is not willing to say that this is because of what God has done, you know. But they talk about Mother Nature, all kind of other foolishness, you know. But yeah, the atheists are believers. They just don't know it.
Well, let's take for the sake of discussion, let's take the devil out of the equation for a second, just for those atheists out there.
Mm-hmm.
If they don't believe in God, then surely they don't believe in the devil or whatever,
mm-hmm.
you know, other religion there may be that, you know, doesn't adhere to the philosophy of an evil spirit just going around, you know, fighting, warring, or that there's this war between God and this evil spirit for the soul of man. Because there are a lot of people, Christians, okay, who, when something befalls them that could be brought upon by dietary choices and could be corrected by better dietary choices, just blame the devil, okay, for this thing that came upon them. For example, somebody might have diabetes and it's as a result of poor food choices, but because whatever church they go to don't teach, you know, the principles of eating properly or a healthy diet, they blame the devil. And it's easy to blame the devil, because as long as you blame the devil as the source of the ill, you can continue on eating and doing whatever it is.
And you don't have to take responsibility.
Exactly.
See, the devil becomes a scapegoat. See,
true.
You know,
can you talk
about it? And the reality is that some of the most unhealthy foods you're going to find is going to be in your churches. I used to when I started on radio, my first real program was I was the doctor for Dr. Calvin Rolark on his program, you know, and so he was on WYCB.
I remember that.
AM radio, you know, and you know, that station catered to churches, okay? Catered to
mm-hmm.
churches. And I would, the show was on Saturday night, you know, I think 11 o'clock I was on. And so I would be headed to the station, you know, and listening to his program, because he was on like for 3 hours and I was on for an hour of that time. And
mm-hmm.
and so it was called Sound Off. That was I was a Sound Off doctor. That's what it was. I was a Sound Off doctor. And so as I was going in, I'm listening, so I'll know where I am in the show and all that. And the folk would be on there talking about, you know, sponsoring programs, such and such a church. We're going to have a barbecue, you know, tomorrow after service, you know. And
mm-hmm.
I'd get in the station, man. I'd be so fired up. I'd be so upset by the time I got to the station. I don't know how I even had a good show, man, because I would be listening to this foolishness. And I said, man, how could these people, in the name of God, be promoting such bad stuff? And then had a nerve to say, well, just bless it, you know, say a blessing over it, and it becomes good, you know? And it's just not so. You know, that's why so many of them had diabetes and heart disease and cancer. I grew up, you know, I guess it's known, I'm one of them Seventh-day Adventists, and we have always promoted health in our church. And so much more in the day than we do even now. But be that as it may, you know, I can remember, you know, the sick list being very short, and yet I attended a very large church, but the sick list was very short because people
mm-hmm.
adhered to the health principles, and they would just live and die and never get sick. You understand what I'm saying? You know?
Yes, sir.
So we don't have to be sick like we are. It's a choice. And what has happened is what I call the devil has blinded our eyes so that we don't even recognize that we're our worst enemy. That God can't do what he wants to do in us and through us because we're sick. And we're sick because we're not following health principles. You know, let's just call them health principles. We're not following health principles. We don't even look at what the animals eat. You know, you look at the dog. I remember one of the first times I really was exposed to herbs, this guy told me, my dog is sick, so I'm going to let him out so he can go and eat some grass to get well.
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm.
And the dog would go out there and he'd find some dandelion or whatever, and he'd eat it, and he would regurgitate, and then he'd be fine, you know. I mean, dogs have more sense than we got. Lord have mercy.
Mm. Preach, man. Well, you know, let me ask you a question, Doug, because you have people. Okay, again, if you have decided, if a person has decided that, okay, I like eating meat, I like eating sugar or whatever the case is, then even if you present them with evidence, scientific proof. I was speaking with somebody recently, a bishop, actually, and was sharing with them some information, and they came back and quoted scripture to justify why it was okay to eat meat. And I think the scripture was something, I can't recall exactly which one it was, but I mean where it was, but basically saying what God has called clean, let not thou callest.
Yeah, that was Peter. And if he's a real bishop, he should know that that's not talking about food. That's talking about people. That was talking about people. That was talking about God wanted Peter to go and talk to the Gentiles. And he called them, he said he couldn't, you know. He would stick with the Jews, you know, because these were unclean people. Mm-hmm. And God said, don't call nothing I made common or unclean. And he talked about, he put him in a sleep, and he told him to rise, Peter, slay and eat. And all these unclean things was there. And Peter said that he don't eat that stuff. And he said, don't call nothing that I've created common and unclean. He was talking about people. He wasn't talking about food. But you know, let's go back. Let's use another text or two. God gave the original diet of man over in Genesis 1:29. It was fruits, grains, and nuts. 1:26, fruits, grains, and nuts. That's what God gave man. And when man was eating that diet, man was living 900 plus years. All right?
Mm-hmm.
If you go over Genesis, I believe it's 3:15, where God gave man permission to eat meat. He did it because man had become so evil. To the very thoughts of man was evil continuously. And he was living 900 years with that evilness in him. You know,
mm-hmm.
he had to shorten it. And so he gave him permission to eat. And if you start looking right after that, the life expectancy of man started dropping to what it is now. So, you know, if you want to study the scripture, study it. But use it. But use it in its proper context, you know.
I found the ones that the brother gave, and I'll share them with you. One was Mark. This was in response, okay, to me basically saying, "Listen, don't eat." They were talking about Thanksgiving and what they were going to have, telling them, "Don't eat no meat," right? And this is the response that I got. Okay, the response was the scripture Mark 16:18,
mm-hmm.
and it reads, "They shall take up serpents." And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. That was one response. The second one that was given was 1 Timothy 4:4.
But they weren't talking about eating the serpent, though. They weren't talking about eating the serpent. They were talking about, you know, God would send out his people. God would send his people out. And his people would if they laid hold to a serpent, the serpent would bite them, and they wouldn't. And it actually happened. If you go further, Paul, it actually happened to him. Paul was bitten by a poisonous serpent, and Paul didn't die. Matter of fact, the people believed in Paul afterwards because they knew that something was special about him. Because everybody that was bitten by that serpent died immediately, and Paul didn't die. Go ahead.
Okay, the second one was 1 Timothy 4:4, and it reads, "For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving." Now, that, of course, was in response to me saying, basically, look, don't eat no meat on Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
And this was the justification that I got in return. Again, 1 Timothy, "For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving." Now, of course, this
okay.
is, of course, I guess, Paul talking to Timothy. But go ahead, your reaction.
Yeah. Now. Well, once again, you have to look at it in context, and then the proof of the pudding is in the eating. The people who eat the way that the bishop is talking about eating, they have all these diseases. They're worshiping.
Mm-hmm.
They're they're praying, they're tithing, you know, and they're dying prematurely. And these, quote, atheists who don't even know, but who are doing it through ignorance, are following the principles. They have none of these diseases, you know. Mm-hmm. So God says, above all things, I want you to prosper, be in health as thy soul prospers. So he doesn't want us to be sick. So it appears that we're doing something wrong, you know, because we're sick. The list, the sick and shut in list is long. Whereas, you know, one of the things that I'm looking to do in the near future is to start a place where people come that are sick and get well. You know, these folk who are shut in, you bring them on out, and we're going to take them and we're going to whip them up, and we're going to use the real principles of God, and we're going to restore them. We're going to restore the years that the locusts and the palmer worm and the canker worm has taken away. God has used bad foods to destroy us because of our disobedience. You know, and we can color it any way we want. But the evidence is clear. Those people who follow God's principles of health, knowingly or unknowingly, live longer than people who don't follow them.
And again, and I want to, you know, make it clear that it doesn't matter what you call yourself. Like, for example, I use the term atheist. There are people, the atheists aren't the only people that don't believe in the devil. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
There are other religions.
I got you.
You know what I'm saying? And are eating, and, you know, eating vegan, you know? I mean, even Muslims, the average Muslim won't eat no pork. You know what I'm saying? So, again, the fruit and vegetables don't care what you believe, because you could believe anything, you know what I'm saying? But eat an apple, and the apple is going to do what the apple is supposed to do once it gets inside your body. It's going to do what the apple was designed to do, which is to provide whatever nutrients that apples provide, you know. So just wanted to, you know, make that clear. Wasn't singling out atheists or to suggest that atheists are the only people that, you know, that you can't, that are eating right and not and you know, obeying the principles of God. Because when it gets into religion, that's a very touchy, you know, everybody's got their own opinion about what's God, what's who's God, is there a devil?
But anyway, it's interesting, and I'll just say this and run on with it. But we in our church, we had a 2-week Friday and Saturday, 2 weeks in a row, we dealt with the relationship between Muslims and Christians, and it was an eye-awakening experience for me, because we had Christians presenting, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, but they were Christians who had studied the Muslim faith, and one simple example is that the you know, if you take the Quran, which I now have and now read, if you take the Quran, 27. They have 27 prophets in the Quran. 25 of them are also prophets in the Bible. You know, so we're much closer from a religious perspective than we think. We've just allowed, quote, the devil to divide us, and we need to be getting together and finding out, you know, this true God, because they believe in Jesus Christ too, you know, and it's amazing, and believe that he's coming again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so we need to stop dividing each, and we need to really do some serious study, and under the unction of the Holy Spirit, I believe that he is going to do some marvelous things. You know, I have a guy who's doctor of Chinese medicine. He was imprisoned in China for 20 some years because of his faith. He now goes back and forth to China. He said the last time he was there, he spoke in 14 different churches, packed all over China, you know. And he said that God is just moving, and churches are sprouting up all over the place, you know. And I asked him, well, did the government bother? He said, no, the government doesn't bother. He said he knows that there are government people there in the meetings, but he goes and speaks. And, you know, God is blessing even there in China. So my God is an awesome God, and he's going to come back for his children, and his children will know his voice and will follow him. And I believe some of those that are calling themselves atheists are going to be following God. That's just my belief, because he says, other sheep, if I that are not of this fold, they too will hear my voice and will follow me. And so, you know, I don't want to make this into a religious discussion, but, you know, my God is awesome, and he don't just be throwing people away. But he expects us to adhere and to use our heads for more than a hat rack. And when you find yourself eating foods that's killing you, and you're going to choose to ignore even the good scientific evidence that these foods, you know, there was an article published in JAMA. JAMA is the Journal of the American Medical Association, August 1st, 2016. And it basically says for every 3% increase in plant protein or calories from plant protein, replacing that of animal protein, there's a 10% decrease in risk of dying. For every 3% increase in calories from plant protein, replacing animal protein, there's a 10% decrease in the risk of dying. You know, and so, you know, the data is out there. And it's funny, if you read the article, and the article was by a guy named Dr. Sung, who's the head of gastroenterology at Harvard University and Harvard Mass General Hospital. You know, he wrote the article, and it's based on the Nurses' Health Study, which is the largest, longest study done on women in this country, 280,000 women. It started in 1976, and also on the health professional follow-up study, which is over 100,000 physicians, dentists, veterinarians, male, which started 10 years later in 1986, and they looked at these people and found out when they change, they live longer. They decrease their health risk, their risk of dying. And so, you know, the data is out there. The data is clear, and it's growing. It's growing. It's growing. So we got to get thankful, start giving thanks to God, because he has given us information. But we have to be willing to use that information, and if we eat it with gratitude, the good foods, we're going to live longer, you know. Now, if we eat the bad foods with gratitude, we're going to live longer than if we eat them, you know, and not being grateful, not thanking God, praising Him. But I'm telling you, when we eat the right kinds of things, it makes a tremendous difference, and we must recognize that, or we're going to die prematurely.
I want to just take a moment and just really thank you for the work that you're doing, Doctor. I know we're going to get to the crust of the thankfulness, but I know that, you know, being in the church and being, you know, and I mean, you coming from a Seventh-day Adventist background, which, of course, those who know know that Seventh-day Adventists, you know, that's they promote holistic health. They promote a vegan, vegetarian diet. And so it's not uncommon for you when speaking to a church, a Seventh-day Adventist church, to be, for lack of a better term, preaching to the choir, because they should know those principles, you know.
Unfortunately, now, too many have looked at the flesh pots of Egypt and are eating that way. But those that are not, there's something called the blue zone. I think we may have talked about the blue zone. There are five blue zones in the world. One is in Loma Linda, California, the only one in the United States. That's a place where people following these certain health principles or lifestyle principles live longer than anyone else. They commonly live and past 90 and into 100. You know, there was recently a doctor who opened a heart surgeon out there in Loma Linda who retired at the age of 99, almost 100. All right. And was still doing heart surgery when his colleagues told him not to retire, but he said, you know, I've done enough, you know, and retired at 99, doing heart surgery, my brother.
Wow.
And patients letting him cut on him, you know. I mean, please give me a break. You know, brother, 99. I don't know if I want him cutting on me. So he must have been in excellent health.
That's true.
You know what I'm saying? That the patient would get under the knife, and other doctors would promote that and send their patients to them, because a heart surgeon don't go out getting his own patients. Patients are referred to him. So folk are sending him patients. And look, you go to doctor, you know, XYZ, he 99, but he good.
Hey, I might have told him, listen, he can watch you, but you hold the knife. Just let him let the 99-year-old man.
I'm telling you,
where to cut, and you cut.
So the point is that those that are following the principles are living longer. Those that are not are dying prematurely. All right, God has no respect of person nor of religions. You know, he's given us information, but we have to use that information, all right? And if we use it, even if we are atheists, we're going to live longer.
You know, there are just certain principles that are what they are. They're principles, like gravity is a principle, the principle of gravity. I mean, and gravity don't care.
We call it a law.
That's what I meant, a law, the law of gravity. So gravity don't care. If you step off the side of a 10-story building, you could be Christian, you can be Muslim, you can be atheist, you can be Jewish.
You're going to fall and bust yourself up.
Okay. They're going to be scraping your brains up off the sidewalk, okay?
Yeah.
So it does, some things just don't matter. So when it comes to the principles of health, people get caught up in, like, for example, the bishop who's quoting scripture to justify, you know, the eating of something that's been scientifically proven to, you know, certain health practices are scientifically proven to increase your lifespan. Other practices have been proven to shorten your lifespan. So, again, I was just going to say, for you to be going about and teaching and, you know, I know that you are up against, you know, just tradition, even when it comes to particularly the church, fellowshipping and people getting together and, you know, chicken dinners and all this stuff to raise money, you know, for the church. So I commend you for the work that you do, because
I know it's not an easy job. It's actually very easy, because, see, I'm not going around trying to convince people to change. God, Elijah, I think it was Elijah, was surrounded by this army, and you know, he talking about, it was another situation. Elijah was saying, you know, I have not bowed my knee to Baal, and God said, no, I got 7,000 folks scattered all throughout Israel who've not bowed their knee to Baal. You know, God has people all around that are looking for his principles. And all I am is I'm a fruit inspector. I'm going around looking for folk who want to change. And mm-hmm. I want to help those people who want to change. If you want to continue in your ways, in spite of the evidences, I tell folk, pray and ask God to direct you. And if you pray and you feel your God is directing you to keep eating that stuff and dying prematurely, then you're not somebody I'm looking for. Mm-hmm. I'm looking for people who, and I'm not trying to judge you. I'm just saying I'm looking to help people to live who want to live and help people to change who want to change. And I'm looking to do it in a way that glorifies God, because I believe that He is the source of life, you know. And whether you're an atheist or not, that's what I'm going to say to you. Now, I'm not going to disrespect you and say you got to believe what I believe. But I'm going to tell you that I believe that the knowledge that you're using to eat vegan came from God, because mm-hmm. all good things, I believe, came from God. And so I'm going to give Him credit whether you recognize it or not. If you're going to dislike me because of that, that's your business. But I'm going to praise His name anyway, because if I don't do it, the rocks are going to cry out, you know.
You know, brother, there's a scripture that talks about, and I don't know exactly where it is, but it talks about how death and life are in the power of the tongue. And I think traditionally that's been interpreted as, though, you know, speak positive, you know, just the power of words and speaking, you know, speaking positive affirmations as opposed to negative affirmations, as opposed to, for example, saying, you know, oh, my arthritis, you know, you're not claiming that. I think traditionally that's how that scripture has been interpreted, in terms of just speaking positive. Death and life are in the power of a tongue. But when we talk about holistic health now, that brings a whole new angle of examining that scripture. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, or now let's look at it, power of the palate, or what you mm-hmm. eat, what goes in your mouth could be interpreted, could look at it from that aspect.
Some people say that we are burying ourselves with our forks. We're digging our graves, I'm sorry. We're digging our graves with our forks, you know. And because of the stuff that we're putting in our mouths, we're causing ourselves to die prematurely. And tell the bishop when he wants to talk, I'll be glad to talk with him.
I shall. You know, Doc, we
because the thing is, is that that bishop want to say that, but that same person does not want diabetes and heart disease and cancer and strokes, you know, and kidney failure. And so if he doesn't want those, he has to do the things that will not only prevent him, but if he got them, will reverse them, you know. And you said I was in surgery. Well, when I left surgery and started practicing, quote, holistic medicine or alternative medicine, although God's program cannot be alternative. But when I started practicing natural medicine, God's medicine, the people that was coming to me were people that had failed traditional medicine. They were coming with stage 4 cancers, and the doctors had sent them home to die. And they came to me because they heard that I was doing some stuff over here. And it's interesting because the word had gotten around, because at one point the assistant attorney general of the United States, the assistant surgeon general of the United States came to me when she had breast cancer. You know, I mean, how did she find out about me? Well, the word is out that this crazy brother's over here getting folk well. You understand? You know, people who were sent home to die, he's changing their diets. He's getting them to talk different and think different. You know, he's getting them to exercise. He's giving them some herbs and different nutrients. because I don't like a lot of supplements. I like nutrients.
Okay.
You know, and God, you know, he ain't doing it, but God, through him, is getting these folk well. You know? So if you got these diseases, if you want to keep doing what you're doing, you're going to just keep dying. But if you want to reverse them or stop the progress, you're going to have to change. You got to change. And yes, God could heal you through prayer. But if you're going to pray and keep breaking his law, your prayer going to bounce off that ceiling. You understand?
Yes, sir.
And you're going to die prematurely. And that atheist who changes his diet is going to get well, and you're going to die prematurely. There's something wrong with that picture.
God, that's why I love having you on as a guest, because you give it raw. And a lot of people sugarcoat stuff because they don't want to hurt people's feelings. They want to be politically correct. And, you know, you give it to us the way it needs to be.
I used to sugarcoat it. I really did. I try to be politically correct. But I'm tired of seeing people die prematurely. And God has given me information. There was a point in time that I actually stopped treating cancer patients, you know, because of the risk. I mean, you know, because I make a lot of enemies when I start talking the way I talk. But I now realize that, number one, God has protected me, and God told me that he would protect me. But number two, I don't make too many people upset because only a few people are listening. The majority of them are still going the same way and dying prematurely. Mm-hmm. So, you know, but I'm tired of seeing people die prematurely, you know, people who don't need to die prematurely. You know, and we have to stand up and be counted. You know, and that's why what you're doing is so important, because you're standing up and you're spreading the word, and some are going to listen and some are not. You know, on my radio show, people call in. It's amazing. It's happened so many times. I can't count them. You know, folks said, I was just turning the channel and I heard you and I stopped. And they called in. Now, how many people just turned in the channel, heard me, and didn't call in, but still listened and changed? Mm-hmm. You understand what I'm saying? You know,
yes, sir.
I don't know how many people I'm affecting positively. That's not my job. My job is to cry aloud. You know, God's job is to get them well. His job even is to smack them upside the head. So they'll listen, and they'll be willing to change. And I'm excited, you know, that I can be a part of this ministry of going out and reclaiming some of God's children who have a great work to do but can't do the work because they're so sick.
You know, Doug, again, this is one of those shows that when people hear it, they're going to come face to face with themselves. Those that are not already on the holistic health path, those that are, you know, on the fence, this show is going to be that show that makes them jump off the fence and say, you know what, I've been sitting on this fence too long. I can't deny it anymore. I heard the brother, you know, I'm ready to listen now. You know, I'm ready to get healthy now. I'm ready to do whatever it takes, you know, because like you've been known to say, Doc, you got to look in the mirror and love that person that's looking back at you.
Exactly.
Lastly, about the choice, because every time we pick up that fork, we're making a choice between living and dying. Once upon a time, you know, all food was organic. You know, once upon a time, there were no chemicals being sprayed on the food and this and that. And that. Once upon a time, you know, we were making better food choices. But nowadays,
once upon a time, the meat was even healthier. You know, I tell people, Christ ate fish. He probably even ate meat, but he clearly ate fish. But the fish then is different than the fish today. You know?
Yeah.
The fish then was different than the fish today. Plus, he knew he was only going to be here for 33 years. but I don't think that's why he did it. But he clearly ate fish. And he served it. He cooked it and served it to his disciples. He fed the 5,000. He fed the 4,000 with fish.
What about those, Doc, who say, well, you know, I don't eat, you know, I don't eat red meat. You know, but they, you know, you ask them about, you know, becoming vegetarian or vegan. Oh, yeah, yeah, I don't eat red meat.
Well, I told you about that study at Harvard by Dr.
Yes.
Song. Well, there's another guy. His name is John McDougall. He looked at the same data and probably even looked at the article that Song wrote. And he wrote another article, and he compared. Use the same sources, and he broke it down into specific meats. He said if you increase 3% the calories from plant protein and you replace processed red meat, bologna, salami, you know, that stuff, your life expectancy will improve by 34%. If you replace, and this one got me, eggs, it's 18%. If you replace unprocessed red meats, it's 12%. Dairy, I believe, was 8%. Chicken and fish was 6%. So, you know, it depends on, you know, I don't want to die one day too soon, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So it just depends. You know, some things have greater weight and clearly will impact you worse,
mm-hmm.
but they all are going to impact you negatively. That's what the data shows, you know. That's what the data shows.
It's like I remember Dr. Lathan making a comment once saying that, for example, if you're headed for a cliff, you're driving your car towards a cliff, and let's say you take out red meat, but you're still eating chicken and ham, you might slow your progression towards the cliff instead of going 100 miles an hour, now you're going 75, but you're still headed in the same direction.
And you're still going to go over that cliff. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
You're still going to go to the cliff. And the thing is that we want to decide that we don't want to go over the cliff. And if we go over there, we want to delay it as long as possible. Because life is supposed to be fun. Now the reality is that a lot of people are not happy, and so I think they're just trying to commit suicide, unbeknownst to themselves. But you know, a lot of people are not happy. But if you choose to focus in on, you know, giving a little appreciation for life. Little gratitude. The studies show that people like that have a better outlook on life, that they are happier, and they're more likely to do things to take care of themselves. So we need to really do the things that we need to do to take care of ourselves, and when we do that, and we do it with a sense of gratitude, of thanksgiving, then God actually will extend our lives, you know, and we'll be happier, and we'll enjoy life more, you know. Life will be fun, man.
You know.
Life is supposed to be
I've
fun.
I've heard that God really wants and chooses to experience, that God chooses to experience life through us, that we are the vessel, you know, of God. And, you know, if you think about that, then that means then if you look at yourself as God's vessel in the earth, then the choices that we make can either allow for the full expression of God to come through us and enjoy life and really, you know, enjoy its creation, you know, or not. So, you know, this is a conversation, Doctor, we got to have to do a part two, you know, because, you know, we're talking about, I mean, we started off talking about thankfulness and health, and this conversation went where it needed to go. Would you be interested in coming back and doing a part two to this same show?
Sure, sure, we can do a part two because it's very important because there are some things that we need to do to start really expressing thankfulness to God. You know, we're too many Christians are complaining all the time. You know, woe is me. You know, and our Sabbath school lesson, we're studying Job now, and Job says, though he slays me, yet I'm going to trust him. You know, I came naked into this world, and I'm naked, I'm going to leave. You know, you know, the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We got to start thanking God more. And we got to start looking and see how we're being blessed. And then as we start changing our verbiage, we're going to start feeling different. And we got to start noticing that our behavior has changed. You know, all this stuff is linked, man. It's all linked. God didn't make us all these different separate entities. It's just one continuous, but you know, the head has a job to do, the heart has a job to do, the hands have a job to do, you know. This attitude is doing a job, you know. The diet is doing a job, the exercise is doing a job. So we got to put it all together, and when we do it, then we're going to see that our God is awesome and that he created us in a certain way. And as we follow his principle, that we'll gain more and more and more. And what I find is that I don't have to eat meat. They come to me and say, Doc, I want to get off this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I see what it's doing to me, and it's not good. Can you help me?
Mm-hmm.
And I say, sure, I'll be more than happy to help you.
Well, Doc, you know, there's somebody out there that's listening right now that is saying, you know, I want Doc to help me. How can they reach you? Because, again, I know that there are people out there that want to get in contact with you to start that process of making that change. How can they reach you, Doc?
I'm going to give you two ways. You can go to my website. And there's a lot of information, and it's going to be even more on there because we're really trying to make this thing educational juggernaut, man. We'll be able to just really wear you out, teach you, and help you. And that is www.twiliving.com. T is in the living is. I mean, L is in living, I is in institute, T-W-I, Watkins. I'm sorry.
Watkins.
Yeah, Watkins.com. The Watkins.
Take your time.
Yeah, T-W-I. The Watkins Institute, T-W-I, the Watkins Institute, living.com. That's what it is, twiliving.com.
Okay.
And you can also call my office, 202-388-0992. 202-388-0992. And once again, let me go back to the website because I'll probably mess it all up. is TWILiving.com. That's what it is. TWILiving.com. That stands for the Watkins Institute, living.com. So hopefully I didn't mess it up, and people who want to reach us can reach us.
You know, if there are people out there that want to hear more of Dr. Watkins and you don't want to wait a month until he comes back on my show, Dr. Watkins has his own show on WPFW. Doc, can you give him that information for those who might want to tune in tomorrow?
Yeah, it comes on tomorrow, Mondays. It's at 2 o'clock, and I'm on WPFW. That's 89.3 FM. If you're outside the Washington, D.C. area, it's www.pfwfm.org. www.pfwfm.org, and you can just tune in 2 o'clock. We're on from 2 to 3, and, you know, we'll be more than happy to have you.
And that's WP.
It's a call-in show, and so we challenge the community.
Mm-hmm.
We got to get you back on there again, my brother.
I look forward to it. I look forward to it, my brother. Yeah, we're going to be back on. I've got some serious announcements to make, and I look forward to it. And again, that's WP like Paul, F like Frank, W. Okay, just want to make sure you got the letters correct. Also, Doc, in the evening, on Monday evenings, you do a broadcast, I think, starting at 7, don't you?
Yeah, yes, we do. Yes, we do. And it's about 30-40 minutes, and we do it every Monday except for holidays. And boy, let me think of this number. I probably need to look the number up because I have it automatic that it dials, and I don't want to give the wrong number. I think I know it by heart, but let me just quickly look.
Okay.
So that I don't mess it up. But yeah, we have every Monday, and you mentioned Dr. Ruby Lathan. She is on with me, and we've been doing it now, man, going on 4 years.
Wow.
And God has really blessed us.
Everybody that's listening, Dr. Lathan, Dr. Ruby Lathan, that's a powerful sister there, too. She's a regular on this show, Health, Wealth, and Divine. She comes on once a month as well. She cured herself of thyroid cancer, after the doctors had told her and diagnosed her with it and wanted to remove it. So, again, you're listening to shows like this, you're listening to people that know what they're doing. They're not coming at this from some hearsay. They heard somebody say something. I mean, we're talking about people. Brother Coy Dunstan, another regular who comes on, cured his mother of cancer in both breast, the liver, and the colon. So you're listening to people that know the body and know what to give the body to have it perform at its optimal state. Did you find the number?
Yeah, I got that number. It's 3670. That's 641-715-3670. And the PIN is 163-675 pound.
Okay. Can you get that pin one more time?
I want to really check that pin. I'm trying to look and see because I use a different pin. Let me check that pin.
Okay.
Let me check that pin.
So everybody, I hope that you're enjoying this interview. Again, this is information that people. So
you notice I didn't come. I didn't come on to promote myself.
I have no problem promoting you at all, my brother, because when you're talking about people out here that are healing, people that, you know, have all kinds of diseases, it doesn't matter what the disease is. You know, Dr. Watkins, you need to get in contact with him. Or if there's somebody that you know that's dealing with an issue, you need to have them tune in to, and I have no problem promoting your show, you know, WPFW, every Monday from 2 to 3. And, you know, definitely check him out, you know, because you can get an additional dose of Dr. Watkins. And every Monday night, you're okay, from 7 to 7.30 or 7.45, tune in. You can hear him again, you know, because this is information that people need to hear on a regular basis. And when you hear about people curing people of cancer, that should get your attention. You know, that should get your attention, because if somebody can cure somebody of cancer, then high blood pressure should be no problem. I mean, there's somebody out there that's listening that's got high blood pressure. I mean, you know, you can get rid of that. You don't have to take medication for the rest of your life, like the doctor said. Correct, Doc?
That's right. I mean, and that's, and to me, that's so exciting that you don't have to die prematurely, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But we have to be willing to change. You know, if we're not willing to change, then we're not going to be able to get the results that God has in store for us. You know,
mm-hmm.
He loves us, and he wants above all things for us to prosper and be in health. You know, if we don't make those changes, we're going to die prematurely. And the sad thing is that we are dying prematurely. You know, and many of us don't even know it. You know, we go and we're taking 2, 3, 4 pills, and our blood pressures are still out of whack. You know, snatch people off blood pressure medicines, but over time, they get off of them. They're taking diabetic medicine. You know, I don't snatch them off diabetic medicine, but generally in a week's time for type 2 diabetes, and as short as 3 days, I get them off their medicines.
Mm-hmm.
That's a fact. You know, I mean, that's not, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I tell folks, I got trophies on my wall of people who've gotten off your medicine now, and with a normal blood sugar. See, it's one thing to get off of medicine. It's another to get off of medicine and have normal numbers. And that's what we promote. We want you off your medicine, all right, with normal numbers. And if you can do that following God's methods, then maybe you want to look at what God has to say about this thing. All right? You know, he knows exactly what he's doing. All right, I got that number now.
Okay.
Yeah. The PIN, once again, the phone number is 641-715-3670. And the PIN is 163-679-POUND. 3670, PIN 163-679-POUND.
Now that's for the radio broadcast that he does every Monday from 7 to about 7:30, 7:40 with Dr. Bilayson. That's every Monday except for holidays. So you can get another dose of Dr. Watkins and an additional treat, because you'll be joined by Dr. Lathan as well. You know, I want to.
I'm gonna add one other thing. I will take a because I think it's very important. I'm gonna plug something. I have a program called the Eden Connection Health and Fitness Club, and if you go on that website, you can read about it and you can join it. And in this program, we help people all over the country to literally reverse diseases, so that they don't come to my office, but we take care of them and we help them to get off medicines. If you're interested, you can check that out, and you can actually sign up online, and God is helping us to reverse a lot of diseases for a lot of people that's not in this area.
You don't have to be in the Washington, D.C. area to take advantage of the wealth of information and the expertise that Dr. Watkins has in healing. So, again, just make sure you go to his website, check out it's called the Eden Connection, Doc?
The Eden Connection.
Okay, the Eden
Health
Connection.
And Fitness Club.
You know, I want to add this, too, because Dr. Watkins mentioned it, and I just want to, I think the point needs to be driven home, and that is that, again, Dr. Watkins stated that you don't have to die prematurely. Again, this is in response to people saying that, well, you got to die of something. Well, you don't have to die prematurely. And remember this, very important, that those who do die prematurely, in most cases, they don't die peacefully in their sleep. They suffer. Okay? They suffer. they die in pain, you know. So I think that needs to be stressed, that, again, those who do die prematurely, those of the people that we know, our loved ones that have died of cancer, they didn't die pain-free. They died in pain. They suffered. Those that we know that died of diabetes or heart failure or, you know, whatever the condition was, they died. They suffered before they passed away. You know, matter of fact, by the time they passed away, we said what? Well, God took them out of their misery. Because they were miserable when they were dying. So, Doc, I just wanted to throw that out there, because when people do die prematurely, they're not dying in their sleep for the most part.
Right. You know, I hadn't thought about that, but you're absolutely right.
So
yeah, absolutely.
I want to thank you, Doc. Again, it's been a powerful, powerful show. We went over a bit, and you've given us a lot to chew on, no pun intended. But a lot to chew on. And, again, I pray that God continues to open the doors for you to continue to spread the good news, you know, of holistic health, because it's life-changing, it's life-saving. And, you know, any parting words for our listeners today?
I just want us to do what you said, look in the mirror, and recognize that we're worth living, and if we're worth living, we're worth changing. We have a reason to live, and that God has something special for us. And if we're willing to cooperate with him, he's going to bless us. The last thing I'll say is that we need to ask God for power to change. We need to ask him for power to make the changes that we need to make so that we can live the life that we should have. And he will give us that power.
Brother, what a way to start a Sunday morning. What a way to start a Sunday morning. You got the message, everybody. If you're going to church, you got the message before the message. Okay? So take heed. You didn't tune in by accident. You tuned into this show on purpose. So that means that the message was either for you or it was for somebody that you know. Again, make sure that you go to Dr. Watkins' website. You can check out the Eden Connection. You can remember to check out his show on WPFW every Monday from 2 to 3 and his evening show with Dr. Lathan. What's the name of that show in the evening, Doc, on Mondays with Dr. Lathan?
We just call it the Monday Night Call. So we haven't come up with a sophisticated name for it. We just give people information and help them to make lifestyle changes.
Well, make sure everybody you're on the Monday Night Call tomorrow night, okay, from 7 to approximately 7:30, 7:45. You'll be glad. Every week they have a different topic, and it's information that can really, really bless you. So I want to thank you again, Dr. Watkins. I'll be in touch. We'll do part two, thankfulness and health. Thank you so much for your time, my brother.
God
continue to bless you, sir.
All right. Bye-bye.
All right, everybody. That is Dr. Ted Watkins. All I can say is, wow, what a powerful, powerful brother. What a powerful interview. Again, when you're talking to Dr. Watkins, you're talking about somebody that knows the body from the inside and out. You know, we got choices to make, everybody. We really have choices to make. You don't have to wait till the new year to make a resolution when it comes to your health. When it comes to your health, shoot, you know how life is. We better hope that we make it to the new year, much less talking about in the new year, I'm going to make some dietary changes, but I'm going to kill myself through diet between now and then. Let's change our diet to a live it. And that's just the beginning. That's just one component. Okay, you got to exercise, you got to meditate, you know, you got to surround yourself with people that are going to support your transition. Okay, so hey, this is just an offering, something, information for you to chew on. Again, no pun intended. Some information for you to consider that could actually change the quality of your life and really actually could save your life, could prolong your life. So I want to thank everybody for their time. Thank you so much for tuning in. I do appreciate it. Hope everybody's enjoying the holiday season. Again, if you feel so inclined, share this information with somebody that you know, because if you like it, chances are the people that you run with, they'll like it too. My name is Jawanza. You're listening to Health, Wealth, and Divine. Who am I? I am the one who in giving receives more. Who are you?